Siberian Red, written by Sam Eastland and read by Stephen Pacey.
In a cave deep underground, lit by the greasy flame of a kerosene lamp, the man knelt in a puddle, his empty hands held out as if to catch drops of water which fell through the cracks in the ceiling. He was badly wounded, with deep cuts across his chest and arms. The homemade knife with which he had attempted to defend himself lay out of reach behind him. Head bowed, he stared with a look of confusion at his own reflection in the puddle, like a man who no longer recognized himself. Before him stretched the shadow of the killer who had brought him to this place.
"I came here to offer you a reason to go on living," said the killer. "And this is how you repay me?"
With fumbling, blood-smeared fingers, the man undid the button on his shirt pocket. He pulled out a crumpled photograph of a group of soldiers on horseback, dense forest in the background. The men leaned forward in their saddles, grinning at the camera.
"They are my reason for living."
"And now they will be your reason for dying."
Slowly, the way people sometimes move in dreams, the killer stepped behind the man. With movements almost gentle, he grasped the man by his short and filthy hair, pulling his head back so that the tendons stood out on his neck. Then he drew a knife from the folds of his clothing, cut the man's throat, and held him like a lover while his heart bled dry.
"Poskrebyshev!"
The voice of Joseph Stalin exploded through the wall. In the adjoining room, Stalin's secretary sprang to his feet. Poskrebyshev was a short, round-faced man, bald except for a fringe of grey which arced around the back of his head and resembled the wreath of a Roman emperor. Like his master, he wore trousers tucked into black calfskin boots and a plain mandarin-collared tunic in precisely the same shade of brownish-green as the rotten apples that two neighbourhood bullies, Ermakov and Schwarz, used to hurl at him from their hiding places along the young Poskrebyshev's route to school. Since the war had broken out 1 month before, there had been many such outbursts from the man Poskrebyshev referred to as Vosht, the boss. On September 1, 1939, as part of a secret agreement between Germany and Russia, buried in a peace treaty signed between the two countries and known as the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact, Germany had invaded Poland. Justification for the invasion had been provided by a staged attack on a German customs house called Hochlinder and on the Gliwice radio substation. 13 inmates from Oranienburg concentration camp, believing that they had been chosen to take part in a propaganda film designed to improve relations between Germans and the Poles, were trucked towards Hochlinder under cover of darkness. All were dressed in Polish army uniforms. The inmates had been convinced that they were to enact a meeting between German and Polish troops somewhere in the forest on the border between the two countries. The plot of the film would be simple. At first, both sides, mistrustful of the other, would draw their weapons. For an agonizing moment, it would seem as if a gunfight might actually break out. But then the men would recognize their common ground as human beings. The guns would be lowered. Cigarettes would be exchanged. The two patrols would part company and melt back into the forest. Upon completion of the film, the inmates had been promised that they would be sent home as free men. As they neared Hochlinder, the trucks pulled over and the prisoners shared rations with a squad of SS guards accompanying them. Each prisoner was also given what he was told would be a tetanus shot, as a matter of standard procedure. The syringes were not filled with tetanus vaccine, however. Instead, the men were injected with prussic acid. Within minutes, all of them were dead.